travel somewhere new, a place to slow down, to breathe, and to gently let go of the day. There is nothing you need to do, nowhere you need to be. Just listen and allow yourself to drift. Tonight, you are going to a place that almost does not make sense, a place where three countries touch each other at a single point, where you can stand with one foot in one nation and take one step and be in another, and take one more step and be in a third. The kind of place that sounds invented, a story someone made up to explain an interesting shape on a map. But it is real, and it is modest in the most beautiful way. Not a grand border crossing with barriers and booths and officials. Not a port or an airport or a tunnel beneath the sea. Just a hill, a gentle hill in the province of Limburg in the extreme southeastern corner of the Netherlands, where the land rises just enough and the map bends just so, and three countries find themselves sharing a single quiet summit. It is called the Walserberg, and the point at its top, where the three lines meet, is called the Dreilandpunkt, the three country point. The day begins in Aachen. Aachen is a German city, an old city, a city that carries its age gently and without pretension. It sits near the western edge of Germany, close to where the borders of three countries converge, as if even the city itself has always understood that it belongs to a border region, to a place where nations touch and blend, and where the idea of a clear line between one place and another has never quite convinced the landscape. You are at the bus station in the morning. The air is warm, but not yet the full warmth of midday. There is a brightness to the morning that feels promising, the kind of light that falls cleanly from a high sky, not diffuse or clouded, but sharp and clear and generous. Around you, the city hums with its own gentle activity, the sounds of a European morning, a tram somewhere nearby, voices in German, the hiss of an automatic door, the smell of coffee and fresh bread from somewhere close, a bakery perhaps, or a cafe. The warm smell drifting across the pavement, and then gone. You are waiting for the bus to Vals. The journey is a short one, just over 6 kilometers, 11 minutes more or less, from the heart of Aachen to the small Dutch town on the other side of the border. 11 minutes from Germany to the Netherlands. You think about that for a moment. The strange compression of it. A bus journey shorter than many commutes within a single city, carrying you across an international border and into another country entirely. The bus arrives, you board, you find a seat, and then you are moving. The bus moves through the western quarters of Aachen, through streets lined with apartment buildings and shops and petrol stations, through the ordinary fabric of a medium-sized German city, going about its morning without particular ceremony. The streets are wide, the buildings solid, the curbs defined and precise. There is something characteristically German about the arrangement of it, a certain orderliness, a tidiness, the road markings very clear, the signage very legible, everything in its designated place. You watch it through the window without thinking very much. The bus passes through a suburban neighborhood. The buildings thin. The gardens appear, larger now, set back from the road behind hedges and low walls. And then the bus reaches the border. There is no crossing in the official sense, no booth, no barrier. The Schengen Agreement made the internal borders of Europe invisible in one sense, and only one sense, which is the official sense, because in every other sense the border is still entirely visible. It is a road. That is all it is. Just a road, carrying you from one side to the other. But you notice it. Something in you notices it immediately, with a quiet certainty that surprises you slightly. The road surface changes, not dramatically, not suddenly, but you are aware of a different quality beneath the tires, a slightly different sound, a slightly different colour of asphalt. The road signs change, the style of them, the font, the colour coding. German road signs are one thing, Dutch road signs are another thing. The difference is subtle but real. The way a word in two languages can mean the same thing and sound completely different, the same information expressed by different minds. The houses change too. This is the thing that strikes you most. On the German side, solid buildings, a certain gravitational solidity to the architecture, stone and render and pitched roofs, substantial and permanent. And on the Dutch side, something slightly lighter, slightly more vertical. The brickwork a different colour, more red. The windows a different proportion. The front gardens arranged with a particular neatness. That is distinctly, recognisably Dutch. It is the same landscape, the same hills, the same trees, the same light. And yet, the feeling is different, not better or worse, just different, as if two different sensibilities have looked at the same land and made two different, equally reasonable decisions about how to inhabit it. The bus moves on, and you carry this small observation with you, turning it over gently, the quiet miracle of a single road that is somehow two places at once. Vals arrives quietly. A small town, a real small town, not a tourist construction, but a lived-in place with all the comfortable particularity of somewhere that does not particularly need you to be there. You step off the bus into the warm morning air. The light here is good, just as it was in Aachen, clear and high and unhurried. The sky above you a clean, consistent blue, with no significant cloud, the kind of sky that makes the colours below it more vivid than usual, the red brick of the buildings more red, the green of the trees more green, the pale pavement more white. Vals has a particular history. In the 17th and 18th centuries, this town was a place of refuge, a place where wealthy Lutherans crossed the border from Germany in search of religious freedom, and what they built as they settled here still shapes the character of the place. The houses carry that inheritance, a confidence, a certain substantiality, the architecture of people who arrived with means and chose to stay. You stand for a moment at the bus stop, getting your bearings. The main street is in front of you. Small shops, a cafe or two, a bakery with its window full of the same confident practicality that Dutch bakeries always have, the bread displayed with a matter-of-fact generosity. The St. Pauluskerk, the St. Paul's Church, stands not far from the centre of the village, a solid stone building, unhurried and settled, the kind of church that has been providing a fixed point in the landscape of this town for generations. You do not rush. The morning is warm but pleasant, the warmth of a good day that has not yet decided to become a hot one, the air still carrying a freshness that will soften through the afternoon. You you find a small cafe. You sit outside because the day is too good to be inside, and you have a coffee and you sit for a while, watching the town do its quiet morning things. A man cycles past on a bicycle that is very precisely Dutch, upright and purposeful, the rider's posture suggesting complete indifference to the hills around him. A woman with a small dog moves along the pavement, the dog investigating the base of a planter with tremendous interest, the woman waiting with the particular patience of someone who has done this walk many times before and has made her peace with the dog's priorities. The coffee is good, the morning is good, and ahead of you, visible at the end of the road, where the street begins to rise, the hill is waiting. The walk up to the Drielandenpunt begins at the edge of the village and moves along a road that rises steadily into the hillside. It is not a dramatic hill. It is not a mountain. At 322 meters above sea level, it is, in fact, the highest point in the entire European Netherlands, which tells you something about the Netherlands, a country that has conducted much of its history below sea level, reclaiming land from the water with an extraordinary patience, so that even a modest hill in its southern corner is the highest thing the country has to offer. And yet, as you walk upward along this road, the hill is real enough. Your calves begin to feel the gradient. The village falls away gently behind you. The road curves and rises, and the trees press in on either side, and the light shifts and dapples as the leaves move overhead. The houses along the route are exactly as good as you hoped. This part of South Limburg has a particular architectural beauty. The buildings are a mix of traditional Dutch farmhouses and the more elaborate villas of the wealthy merchants who settled this region across the centuries. You pass one with a long, low facade in pale cream render, its garden full and slightly wild with late summer roses, a wooden gate standing open onto a flagstone path. A cat sits on the low wall beside the gate in the full sun, absolutely boneless, having achieved a state of comfort so complete it has essentially become part of the architecture. You pass another, older, built from the local limestone, the pale grey stone warm in the morning light, its small windows deep set in the thick walls, a window box of bright geraniums at each one. And further up, the houses become slightly grander, sitting back from the road behind mature trees, their gardens glimpsed through iron railings or thick hedges, glimpses of lawns and terraces, and the deep shade of chestnut trees that have been standing here for a very long time. You walk slowly, because there is no reason to walk quickly, and because the walking itself is pleasant. The rhythm of it, one foot and then the other, the gentle warmth on your back, the shade arriving and departing as the trees arrange themselves along the route. The sound of the village has fallen away. Up here there is birdsong, a wood pigeon calling somewhere in the trees, the dry, clean sound of a breeze moving through leaves, your own footsteps on the warm tarmac, and the light is extraordinary, because the sky is clear, truly clear, with a clarity that this part of Northern Europe does not always promise, but sometimes delivers. The light falls without interruption, and the colours it produces are precise and vivid. The green of the fields, the pale grey of the old limestone, the warm red of the brick, each one fully itself in the clean air. You climb slowly hill summit is a wide open plateau, and you arrive at it gradually, the road leveling off, the trees thinning at the edges, the view beginning to open. And then you are there, the Dreilanden Pond. You stop walking, you stand still for a moment, not because anything dramatic has happened, but because the place deserves a moment of stillness. The plateau around you is open and unhurried, a gentle green space, the grass short and well worn by many feet, the trees set back from the central area so that the sky is wide overhead. And there, at the centre of it all, is the marker, a low stone monument, the exact point where three national borders converge. The Netherlands, Belgium, Germany. Three words, three languages, one point. You walk toward it slowly. People are here, a few of them moving quietly around the marker, taking photographs, stepping from one side to the other. And you understand immediately when you see them do it what they are doing. Because you do it too. You stand with your feet on different sides of the line, one foot in the Netherlands, one foot in Belgium. You take a step, now Germany and Belgium, another step, Germany and the Netherlands, three countries, in the time it takes to draw a slow breath. There is something quietly extraordinary about this that is not diminished by the fact that thousands of people have done it before you, or by the fact that the borders here are invisible in any official sense. The knowledge of them is enough. The knowledge that this point, this specific, small, exact point on the surface of the earth, is simultaneously three places at once. You stand at the marker and look out. The view is remarkable, because the day is clear, genuinely clear, with that particular visibility that comes from warm, still air and an absence of haze. You can see a very long way. To the north, the Dutch landscape opens up, the land falling away from the hill in gentle rolls, fields and farmsteads, and patches of woodland arranged in the quiet, orderly way that this part of Limburg has always arranged itself. The greens here are soft and layered, a dozen shades from the pale yellow-green of the high meadow grass to the deep, saturated green of the tree canopy below, the colours changing as the light moves across them, brightening in the direct sun and cooling in the shade. To the east, Germany. Not very far, not dramatic, just the familiar landscape continuing on the other side of the invisible line. The same hills, the same trees, the same kind of light, and yet carrying that quality you notice from the bus. That subtle difference of character, as if the same song is being played in a slightly different key. To the south, Belgium. The landscape continues. The hills roll, the trees stand, the air is the same air. You look across all three countries at once, because from here, from this point, you can. This is what the hill offers, not drama, not spectacle, but this gentle improbability, this quiet impossibility of standing in three places simultaneously, with a clear sky above you, and the warm light on your face, and the view extending in every direction into countries that here, from this summit, seem less like separate things, and more like one continuous landscape that humans, at some point, decided to divide with invisible lines. The Wilhelminatoren stands nearby. The tower is 35 meters tall, a modern structure opened in 2011, its geometry clean and contemporary, and from its upper observation level, the view you extends even further than from the ground below. You take the lift, the doors open at the top, and you step out onto the viewing platform into the full openness of the elevated air. Up here, the breeze is slightly stronger, moving steadily from the south, warm, but with a freshness in it that the ground level does not offer. You hold the railing and look. The landscape below you is a patchwork, the greens and browns and golds of three countries, arranged without reference to their political borders. The land doing what land does, which is simply continue, from one hill to the next, from one valley to the next, regardless of what the lines on the maps say. You can see, on a day as clear as this one, the sprawl of Aachen to the east, the rooftops and towers of the city blurred, slightly with distance, but unmistakably there. You can see, to the north, the gentle descent of the South Limburg hills toward the broader lowlands, the horizon flat and very far away, the kind of distance you only find when the land is flat and the sky is clear and there is nothing to interrupt the view. You stay up there for a while, not doing very much, just looking, just standing in the warm air with the breeze moving past you and the three countries arranged below you in their quiet, ordinary, extraordinary way. You descend. At the base of the tower near the monument, there are kiosks, simple things, a counter, an awning, the smell of something warm and good. You choose something easy, something that requires no decisions. You sit at one of the outdoor tables and you eat slowly in the sun, with the marker visible from where you sit and the flags of three countries somewhere at the edge of your view, moving in the same breeze that moved across the observation platform. The food is not complicated. That is part of its appeal. Simple food, eaten outdoors, on a warm day at the top of the highest point in the Netherlands, in three countries at once. Occasionally, someone walks past, close to the marker, doing the same thing you did, standing with one foot here and one foot there, stepping across the line, looking pleased with themselves. They are right to look pleased. It is a good thing to do. You watch them while you eat, these small, quiet performances of geography, and you feel the same small pleasure you felt when you did it yourself, a kind of gentle wonder at the arbitrary but persistent human impulse to mark the surface of the earth, to say this is here and that is there, and then to find the exact line between them and stand on it. Eventually, the morning has become afternoon, and the afternoon is warm and golden, and you begin the walk back down. The descent is easier than the climb. Gravity does most of the work. You take it slowly, regardless, because the light at this hour is doing something beautiful to the road and the hedgerows and the long view down into the village below. The angle of the afternoon sun is different from the morning angle. The shadows are longer now, falling east. The warm light comes from lower in the sky and catches things from the side rather than from above. And what this does to the colours is to deepen them, to enrich them, to turn the green of the hedges a darker, richer green, and the pale limestone of the old walls a deeper, warmer gold. You walk through it. The houses pass again, the roses in the long garden, the cat on the wall, which has moved from its morning position to slightly different position in a different patch of afternoon sun, having made the reasonable adjustment. The trees move in a small wind. The bus stop at the edge of the town. You walk through Vals in the afternoon. The town is doing its afternoon things. The shops are open. A few people move along the pavement, unhurried. The cafe you passed this morning has tables on the pavement now, occupied by a small number of people drinking coffee and appearing to have reached the same conclusion as you, which is that this is a very good day to be outside. You walk slowly through the centre. The St. Pauluskirk cast a long shadow across the square in front of it. The stone cool and grey in the shade, warm and cream where the sun reaches it. A bicycle leans against a wall with the confidence of the completely unsecured. A small child is having an argument with a pigeon. The pigeon is winning. The light is golden now, the kind of golden that only arrives in the mid-afternoon, in the period just before the day begins its slow wind down. You find the bus stop. You sit on the bench. The warmth of the day settles around you. Your legs are pleasantly tired. The specific, comfortable tiredness of a good walk on a warm day. You do not feel the need to look at your phone. You simply sit and wait and look at the town around you. The ordinary, pleasant, very particular town of Vals in the extreme southeast of the Netherlands, where three countries press gently against each other and the air carries the warmth of a clear autumn day, and there is nowhere in the world you need to be except here. The bus arrives, you board, you find your seat, you settle in, and the journey reverses. Vals passes the windows, and then the edge of Vals, and then the border, which arrives again as it arrived before. Quietly and certainly, the road surface shifting, the signs changing their language, the houses on either side of the road resuming their German character. You lean your head against the window slightly, not sleeping, not quite, just resting. The bus moves through the western suburbs of Aachen, through the streets that are becoming familiar now, the apartment buildings, the shops, the petrol stations, the ordinary weekday afternoon of a German city going about its business. The light through the window is warm on your face. You close your eyes for a moment, and in that moment you are still on the hill. Still standing at the marker, still at the exact point where the three lines meet, with the Netherlands to the north, and Germany to the east, and Belgium to the south, and the sky very large and very blue overhead, and the warmth on your back, and the view going on and on in every direction. Later, the bus has arrived. The city is around you. You have walked through streets and arrived somewhere warm and still, and now you are lying down, and the day has become the kind of memory that sits not in the thinking mind but somewhere lower than that, somewhere in the body, in the legs that climb the hill, and the face that caught the sun, and the hands that held the railing on the top of the tower while the three countries lay below. In the dark behind your eyes, the marker is there, that low stone, that exact point, the Netherlands, Belgium, Germany, one stone, one point, three names for the same silence. Observation platform moving steadily from the south, the cat on the wall entirely at peace, the pigeon victorious, the light on the road coming down through. crossing, the road surface changing, the signs changing language. Two different ways of saying the same things across a line so thin you could step over it without knowing it was there. And yet, you knew. You breathe in three countries. You breathe out one hill. You breathe in one sky. And now, as everything grows quieter, and the hill fades gently into the dark, and the three countries settle beneath their shared sky, and your thoughts begin to soften at their edges, you can stay here, on the Valserberg, at the top of the Netherlands, or drift somewhere deeper still, knowing that the marker is still there. At the exact point where the three lines meet, in the quiet on top of the hill, where the grass is short and the sky is wide, and the air is warm and still, and there is nothing left to do, and nowhere else you need to go. Sleep well. The three countries are still there, and everything is quiet on the hill tonight.